And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God. And how are you?
I'm fine. On this great day.
On this great day, absolutely. You know, it's been some crazy weeks, you know, with the ICG games in town and, excuse me, and all the athletes coming from Israel.
Yeah, and the Israeli boys team won the gold medal.
Yes, beautiful.
In basketball.
Yeah, so it must be all the food we fed them.
Probably, yeah. A lot of proteins.
So that was very nice. It was good to see all the companionship and the, you know, I was at a lot of the games. I was a team ambassador for Israel, and I was talking to some kids, and other kids were coming over and saying, you know, even if we don't win or anything, we had fun, right?
Yeah.
Said, yeah, you know, so it was all about that idea of having fun and everything. So that was really, really nice.
That's good. So the high holidays are coming.
The high holidays are approaching very, very fast. And, you know, there's so much to talk about in regards to Rosh Hashanah itself. So we'll try and accomplish that with this today and possibly hopefully next week. We can just wrap that up as well. But, you know, before Rosh Hashanah comes, we have the month of Elul, which is in the month that we're in now, the month preceding Rosh Hashanah, which is a time of spiritual stock-taking. You know, it's the preparation for the high holidays, the day of judgment. God is in the field. Melech Basadeh, and you know, normally when you want to be able to go and see a king, you have to go through all the guards and the chambers and appointments and so on and so forth. Sometimes we feel that as well as with God, that, you know, you have to go through layers, you know, we've got to pray and you hope they'll go up to heaven and so on and so forth. But in the month of Elul, which is this month, it's totally opposite. God comes down to the field, so to call, and he comes down to us and he's right there. We can go out to him. No matter what our issues are, no matter what, if there's no appointments needed, we go and talk to him directly. And if you look at, you know, what is really Rosh Hashanah? The history of Rosh Hashanah is that Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, the day that we proclaim God as our king. Adam proclaimed God king of the universe, so to us in Rosh Hashanah, we coronate God as our king. And how do we do that? By blowing the shofar. Rosh Hashanah is also the day of judgment. That we know that on this day, Adam sinned and was judged and forgiven. So Rosh Hashanah teaches us that it is human to err, to make mistakes, and divine to forgive. That God said to Adam that you are a sign unto your children. As you were judged before me this day and emerged forgiven after you sinned, so will your children be judged before me on this day and they will be emerged forgiven. So that is the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Is that Rosh Hashanah is not something that, you know, we've done kidding, chastise people. Oh, you know, you got to go to school Rosh Hashanah because you're such a sinner and you need to pray and you need to be there for hours and days to ask forgiveness for what you do, for what you did. God doesn't look at it that way. God looks at it that the person errs, and the fact that a person now comes to Rosh Hashanah to shul, to synagogue, and prays, and wholeheartedly asks for forgiveness, the God's going to forgive us. That's the way that that God set it up. And how do, you know, we come to God, we approach God with our whole shopping list of all of our material needs. You know, and people ask, well, what is that supposed to mean? We should ask God, we need to be spiritual, and all that. We come to God and we ask him for all our material needs. To a certain extent, that makes like a little, looks like, you know, we're sort of using God. We're like asking God for things that we don't need. And really, it's not really true. Because the way that God set up this world, he set up this world very physical, and everything that in this world is all materialistic. And in order for me to be able to make a dwelling place for God down here, which is the purpose of the whole creation, I have to be able to utilize and be able to use the material things in this world. So if I'm not going to ask God for money, for example, in order to be able to give charity, how am I going to be able to give charity? Or if I'm not going to be able to ask God to give me whatever it may be, a house, for example, that I can't fulfill the mitzvah of welcoming guests. So everything that I do in this world, I have to be able to have the physical, materialistic things. And so therefore, in order for me, when I pray for material things, it's not the material that I'm praying for, it's more the spiritual within them that our soul desires. And we're hungry and thirsty for both of them. And the soul yearns for them. That's what it says in Tehillim, in Psalms. So, but we have the choice what to do with those physical things that we get. You know, in the spiritual world, there is no free choice because everything is spiritual. In the physical world, there is that free choice, and we have that choice to crown God as our king. We can decide if we want God to be our king this year. And that's what we have to do. So the mission of every human being is to bring the many things of this chaotic world into harmony with their inner purpose and oneness that underlies these specific items, these things. And to do this, each one of us must have those things related to our mission. For example, our family, our health, our home, our income. So we pray that these things we ask God from the innermost of our hearts, our soul pours out, because our soul knows that without them, we cannot fulfill our mission. Now, how do we crown God as our king? We crown God as our king with the shofar. And this is the biblical mitzvah, commandments from the Torah, that everyone should hear the 30 sounds of the shofar. Why the shofar? We can play the drums, I don't know, play the guitar. Why the shofar? And there's a couple of reasons given.
It's to open the gates of mercy.
Yeah, that's one reason as well. Because trumpets are sounded before the newly crowned king to proclaim his sovereignty throughout the country.
Yeah.
And the same thing is with Hashem. This day marks the creation of the being of that we accept God's sovereignty upon ourselves. That's one reason. Another reason is that the shofar serves as a wake-up call for us to do teshuva. As it says in the Rambam, in the Maimonides, awake your sleepers from your sleep, examine your deeds, repent and remember your Creator. So the sounds of the shofar, which is the wailing cry, causes us to feel remorse over our wrongdoings and want to be better, and want to do better. Also, shofar inspires awe in us and reminds us that this is a day of judgment. Because as it says in the Talmud, in the Gemara, that if a shofar is sounded in the city, shall the people not tremble? Obviously, it's going to awaken something within us. And as well as this reminds us of when we received the Torah on Mount Sinai, that during which the sound of the shofar was very, very strong. And so by us blowing the shofar now, we reaffirm our commitment to the Torah, to the Bible. And the last one, which some people know, some people don't know, it reminds us of the binding of Isaac, the Akedat Yitzchak. Because when Abraham came to sacrifice his son Yitzchak, and this was one of the tenth test that God was testing him to sacrifice his son, Abraham offered a ram as a sacrifice in place of Yitzchak. Because when Abraham, everyone knows the story, when Abraham came up to sacrifice his son, he bound him on the altar on the mountain. He was about to sacrifice his son, and the angel screamed out, "Do not do this!" So Abraham said, "Please, just one something God wants me to do. I want to pass this test." And he said, "No, look in the trees." And in the trees, they saw a ram. And that's just what his sacrifice was. So therefore, interesting to know, just while we're talking about that, there's a medrash that explains that ram was placed there when God created the world. So he was there from the beginning of creation of the world, how God had everything planned and how everything was supposed to work out. But that's another reason why we blow the shofar, to remind us of the Akedat Yitzchak. So Rosh Hashanah is a time that we make this world a place for God. We make this world a place that God can feel that is home. That it's his palace. And that's how we do it. With so many different, concepts and ideas, with the shofar and crowning him king, that is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. I think, we will leave it at here, and then next week, God willing, we will talk more about the laws and the customs and things that we do on Rosh Hashanah and Tashlich service and so on and so forth. So there's a lot to discuss, and we'll try and get that in for next week.
That would be great. But if you mentioned the shofar, there is the shofar factory.
That's right. For the first time in Windsor, we're going to be doing a shofar factory where, whether it be an adult or a child that comes to the shofar factory, they're going to be able to make their own shofar out of a ram's horn. A real one, no wooden, no plastic, a real one. They will sand it, polish it, shellac it, learn how to blow it, and walk away from the shofar factory with your own personal shofar. So that's going to be this coming Sunday, August 25th, at the Jewish Community Center at 3:30 to 4:45. We're also going to do some crafts for the kids. So it is going to be a hands-on experience for Rosh Hashanah. It's open to the whole community. Obviously, you do not need any experience because I'm going to tell you everything that you need to know. It is free admission for any adult and child that wants to come and see how a shofar is made. If you want to make your own personal shofar, there is a $10 charge. So that is this Sunday at the Jewish Community Center at 3:30.
That's great. So one more question. The students in the university, I know that they're always invited to Rosh Hashanah, to the Shaarei Shamayim, and to Beth El. What is going this year?
So this year is going to be very interesting because we have orientation for first years specifically is Tuesday, and Rosh Hashanah starts on Wednesday. So it is going to be very tight for a lot of students to go home. Most of the students who are on our Facebook group, Chabad Jewish Student Center, know that there's services Friday evening and services Wednesday and Thursday,
yeah.
As well as dinners which are at the Chabad house. So that is all posted on the Facebook group with all the details. But services is 6:30 and dinner is going to be at 7:15. And 7:30 is services the second night and dinner is at 8:45. So all that info is on the group that any student that is listening that wants to get involved, all the info is on there.
Good. So, Rabbi, we'll talk next week.
God willing, yep.
And thank you.
Wishing you Shabbat Shalom and a good and healthy week.
I wish you the same.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.